what are the rules? What are the rules you're abiding by in your life that you feel are defaults, right? Like, let's get really clear on the rules we're governing our life by, because many of them are societal constructs. They have absolutely nothing to do with who we are, and they're not laws, right? They're just rules. And we adhere to rules for specific reasons. And when we get clear on those rules and those things that are governing our life, it helps us to then get clear on the stories we're telling ourselves.
Welcome to the Small Business Storytellers, the show where we dive deep into the stories and secrets of businesses focused on not just making money, but making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers, and my passion is helping businesses grow that are making the world a better place. Every episode, you will hear from transformational leaders and business owners as we dive into what has helped them grow and what has helped them stay true to themselves along the way. Also, every week we are hosting live conversations with our guests on Fireside Chat, where we give you, the audience, the opportunity to ask them your burning questions. So make sure to join us live on Fireside Chat on your mobile device. Let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about intention and being intentional. And being intentional with the space around us, but also with how we're designing our lives. And I can tell you, as a business owner, I think this is really, really important work to talk about and really important work to do. And if you're not a business owner and you're listening to this, I think you'll still get a lot of value out of this. I know in my own life, I've seen that the more intentional I am with really designing the space and my life and how I want my life to go, the more value I seem to be getting out of the things I'm interacting with. And so I'm excited for this conversation because we get to dive into this world from a little unconventional way. We have not had anybody in the interior design space on this show yet. So I'm very excited to have Shanna Francesca on the show. Shanna, how are you doing today? Shayna Francesca.
Yes, it's okay. Were really, really close. Thanks, Seth. I'm excited to be here and see where the conversation goes.
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, the name of your company is
Consonate.
Okay, tell us what that means and tell us why you picked that name for your business.
Ooh, I'm pulling up my phone right now. So anybody who like is watching this, I look like I'm being exceptionally rude, but I don't have the definition memorized yet. And I love how exact it is.
Okay.
I chose this word. It's actually a real word. It's a defunct word. And what it means is, try again. My phone is like, just kidding. We're not going to let you read it.
No worries.
But basically it means, maybe it'll come up in a second. Basically it means harmony by design. It's about being precise. It's about being precisely appropriate. Oh, here we go. It came up. It means to arrange or blend together skillfully as parts or elements put together in a harmonious, precisely appropriate, or elegant manner. Mm. And it's a really beautiful, decided it didn't want to let me read the rest of it. But for me, it's all about intention. And so when I rebranded the business 6 months ago, even though the business has been around, a little more than probably like 9 months ago now, for 5.5 years, because I believe so completely in being intentional and growing this business to be not only national, you know, to work with clients nationally, but internationally. I really wanted a name that would hold the weight of that, of all the things that I want to do, the vision I have for the company and the vision that we have as a company. And as soon as I came to this word kind of haphazardly, because a friend of mine sent me the word Consinity. We were like super nerds growing up and used to read the dictionary. So like every once in a while we'd come across an interesting word and we're like, oh my God, I want to share this word with you. It's what all the cool kids do. And so she sent me the word Consinity, and it immediately caused like me to go into this deep dive And then I found Consonate and I was like, that's it. That's the name. So yeah, I had already written, the 5-year business plan, all these different expansion avenues that I'd like to explore as a company and all these different, our values and our core beliefs and all of these things. And I had been really intentional from the beginning, kind of building these things for 2 years, the language around who we are as a company. And then I found the name. Mm. So it kind of just naturally came about.
I love it. Yeah. I think that those are the best ones where it just kind of naturally comes and you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's always seems to be a gift when it's just like, yes, this is the right one. So what problems, before we kind of dive deep, I want to get a high level understanding for our audience of just what services you provide, what problems you're helping people to solve when they hire you.
Yeah. So, we're an interior design and life design company. I'm also a speaker and a writer. We work with clients, everything from furnishing a single room in their house to, furnishing an entire home to renovating a home or business. We also work with businesses, primarily with residences, but I spent 10 years doing office design. So we also work with offices, restaurants, and small hotels, like boutique hotels, not like Marriott chain hotels. Right. That's not my jam. And also full home builds, ground up design. So really a full array of services. And then we started kind of adding a bunch of other things because clients were like, can you just handle this for us? So there's one of my clients where we manage his household. And there's other clients where, we've managed their entire move. So we brought someone in to pack up all their things. And we hired a mover and moved their things. And then we unpacked them and staged their entire home so that they didn't have to do any of those things. And then ordered what additional furniture pieces were need to fill in. So as long as it feels like we're capable and we can rise to that challenge, we're like, yeah, sure, let's do it. Why not? So it's really just, we keep kind of adding things and being like, hey, if you want us to do this, we do this too. Because people just ask as a natural extension. Because when you're being that intentional and looking to, when you start to understand what it means to design your life, you start to recognize how everything's connected and it all funnels together.
Right. Yeah. I think it's interesting that you do interior design and life design.
Yeah.
How do those two things work together? And I imagine we often talk about them as very separate things, what you're doing with your life. And then, okay, how do you want your room to look? Yeah. Why have you chosen to bring those things together?
Well, so for me, I guess I started to recognize when I was about a teen, around in my mid-teen years, I had a really crappy upbringing. We'll call it crappy. And I started to kind of surround myself with things like a vision board, like creating my room as a vision board, and would constantly reorganize my furniture in my bedroom. And I started to recognize, it felt like I was resetting the stage, right? So like something terrible would happen and I would reset the stage so that I could break my association with what was and create a new platform, a new stage to tell the story I wanted my life to tell. Hmm. And I really firmly look at our surroundings and who we are as the state, and specifically our home as the stage from which we tell the story we want our life to tell, right? Like that our life story is told from that stage. We spend about 2/3 of our life in our home. During COVID, we spent like 99% of our time in our home. And I think people started to become acutely aware that there are social norms that have been established that we adhere to within our home that actually are harmful to us, that aren't, or at minimum, they're not beneficial to us, right? Like they're not, we're just adhering to them because we feel like we have to. And then when we get really clear on the story we want our life to tell and the purpose we're assigning ourselves and what we want to do with our life, we start to recognize the power of all the decisions we make, right? Mm. Including the smells in our home, including the way that clothing feels on our body, the way we feel in it, the way that we are presenting ourselves. It's like the way that you think about marketing, right? It's your personal brand, but it's your personal brand bled into every aspect of your life. Mm-hmm. And it's not about doing more or making more decisions. It's about being more intentional about what you already do. And the example that I use for people that makes it, I think, pretty simple is like, okay, most of the things that we encounter that we use to wash our body or to care for ourselves have a smell. They're scented. Our you know, detergent, our, you know, if you use fabric softener or dryer sheets, and then, you know, you have perfume and you have shampoo and you have conditioner and you have lotion and you have all of these things. When's the last time we thought about the fact that all of those scents are on our body at the same time? And that in fact, if we're not thinking about the way that they smell together, those smells may be fighting against one another, or they're just, we're not thinking about them as a whole complete picture, right? So if we then think about it, we have to buy all those things anyway. If we think about how those scents might work together, we can create this beautiful scent profile. And it's not really for other people's enjoyment as it is as much for us, because we live inside of our own bodies, right? So your own experience with the scent of your own body is something that is really important, because scent is our strongest connection to memory and emotion. It is our most powerful sense and the one that we think about the least. We can't taste if we can't smell, right? So we lose two senses if we lost one. It's the only sense that does that. We can trigger specific emotional responses with a specific scent. Think about the smell of your favorite grandmother, like your grandmother's house, right? Or your favorite aunt or your uncle or whoever it was. Think about how they smelled when you hugged them. When I say those things, people immediately can think about that smell and it recalls specific emotions. Right. That is our interaction with scent throughout all of our life. And the interesting thing is that once we've established an emotional connection to a specific scent, it is nearly impossible to overwrite that emotional connection. We never can overwrite it. So like, this is the foundation of what I do, is like getting intentional about everything we do down to these little things.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And especially with the scent thing, just a couple of weeks ago, I was talking with a YouTuber named Antonio Centeno. His channel is called Real Men, Real Style. And for the last 5 to 8 years, he's been one of the top YouTube channels with millions of subscribers focusing on men's style. And he just released this, he's kind of beta testing this product where it's a cologne. And you actually get I didn't buy it, but one of my friends did. And I think you pay $500 and you get 4 different scents, but then you also get access to this course. And in the course, he actually talks to you about the importance of scent and of style and different things. But the interesting thing is you actually pick what you want associated with those 4 scents. So I don't know, maybe you would have a sexy scent and a work scent and a exercise scent. But the thing is, it's for you. It's to like create these triggers for your brain. And it was just something so interesting that I'd never really thought about. Everything you were saying goes right in line with that.
Yeah. It's the psychology of scent. It's actually one of the least studied aspects of our senses and our sensory world, but it is in many circles who have studied the psychology of scent, it is arguably one of the most important.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear your thoughts on, like, from a lifestyle design perspective, what are some key things that our listeners should be paying attention to or like looking at if they're in the place where like, I need some support with lifestyle design. Like I need to kind of be redesigning my lifestyle. And the second part to that question is, how should our environment contribute to that? Like, where's the bridge from, okay, I'm revamping some things in my lifestyle. I know I need to make some changes. I need to reprioritize, but then what should I be doing to the environment around me from a design perspective to support that?
Oh, it's such good questions. Yay. number one, I really love to, whether I ask clients directly or people directly or not, what we get to almost immediately is, what are the rules? What are the the rules you're abiding by in your life that you feel are defaults, right? Like, let's get really clear on the rules we're governing our life by, because many of them are societal constructs. They have absolutely nothing to do with who we are, and they're not laws, right? They're just rules. And we adhere to rules for specific reasons. And when we get clear on those rules and those things that are governing our life, it helps us to then get clear on the stories we're telling ourselves about our life, right? The things, whatever we've made happen, you know, has happened to us in our life, the story we're telling ourselves about it, the meaning we've assigned it. And then we can get really clear on who am I versus how have these stories shaped me into who I am, mm-hmm. right? And can I release some of these stories, and can I free myself from these rules? And I know that doesn't feel like it has anything to do with interior design, but it has everything to do with interior design, right? Because our external environment in many, many ways is a direct reflection of our beliefs about ourselves. It is a mirror. We use the things around us as mirrors of reflections of aspects of ourselves, of our beliefs of who we are or who we want to be. So when we get clear on all of those things that I was, you know, all, the story we want our life to tell versus the stories we've told ourselves, when we start to clarify those things, we start to see where we're falling into default patterns, and where we can take a moment and step back, and we can reshape our environment. And I think these things happen at the same time. We reshape our environment, and it reshapes our thoughts about ourselves. And then the reshaping of the thoughts about ourselves then causes us to then again reshape our environment. And they are very symbiotic beings. And there's a lot of healing that happens when we start to take ownership of the story we want our life to tell, and recognize that our home and the environments we spend the most time in are direct reflections of ourselves and are the stage from which we tell the story of our life. Mm. And really, we start to embrace our physical environment as the vision board for our life, right? And this doesn't mean we necessarily have to throw the baby out with the bathwater, right, and clear everything out, and we've got to throw everything out. We have to start new. It could be as simple as grabbing a can of spray paint and doing a light sand on your dresser and replacing the hardware and spray painting it an interesting color that really lights up your life. Mm. Or, you know, it could be as simple as getting your carpets cleaned in your house, or steam cleaning your curtains so that they're not wrinkly anymore. These are really little things, but what they tell ourselves is that I matter. I matter, and I get to take up space in this world, and I get to do it beautifully. And so when we take those moments, we're telling ourselves that I matter. Spending time on who I am, it matters. It's developing your own personal brand and allowing yourself to recognize that your personal brand is not for anyone else. It's for you.
Yeah.
You know, does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, that definitely gives it a start. And I think that's really, really interesting to think about.
There was a second part of your question.
Yes. The second part of the question is like, how does that start to integrate? And you kind of got into this of how does that start to integrate with our actual environment? Like are there maybe things that you find yourself often recommending that people take a look at or change or shift in their physical environment to more support the lifestyle that they're designing?
Yeah. I think the starting point can be things that don't cost very much money. Right. You know, especially for entrepreneurs, you may not want to spend a ton of money because you're in reinvesting in your business or your people, which is your business. And it could be as simple as grabbing a thing of spackle and a spackle knife from Home Depot and filling those little, you know, patching the corner that you bump into all the time at your house and filling maybe that little gash on the wall that you stare at all the time, and then grabbing a can of paint and giving it a fresh coat of paint. Right. That's a really beautiful place to start, because again, we start to get used to what we see over and over again, and we start to accept we start to accept like lesser and lesser levels of taking care of it because we see everything else as more important than taking care of ourselves, right? But in reality, it shows us something about like our beliefs about ourselves. Like, I don't matter. This matters more. The business matters more. The business matters more. But the business can't matter and can't grow unless you're taking care of yourself.
Right.
Like, you have to take care of yourself first. And I know it's really hard because I'm also an entrepreneur. Like, yeah. Like, I get it. It's really, really hard because you see the vision and you just want reality to catch up with that vision. And you desperately are trying to make that happen. But the way that that happens most powerfully and quickest is when you take care of yourself really beautifully, because then you get to walk into the world confidently knowing I got this, right? Because I'm taking care of myself. I'm taking care of my environment. I matter. And you show up differently in the world. And it's really interesting how it happens. And I don't know all the psychology behind it. I don't know. But I would love to dive into it and really understand, like, why is it that painting the wall really triggers our brain to say, like, oh my gosh, I feel so much confidence from that. Or like putting on a new pair of shoes gives us this crazy great confidence if we really love those pair of shoes and there's something that feels so authentically connected to who we are. Like, those things matter.
Yeah. Yeah, Shayna, that's such a good point. And I think in my journey, I've been really surprised at how connected my personal growth is to the business growth.
Yeah.
And by saying that, you know, I don't necessarily mean that, like, I think there's a lot of people that could be listening and be like, well, does that mean that like my whole career and my whole future as an employee is dependent on whether or not the CEO or the leaders above me are prioritizing self-care? And that's not necessarily the point. The point is more in my position, realizing like progression and growth professionally and in things that I'm focusing on that are more external, it really, really matters that I'm connecting internally to the growth. And the hardest times have been when I've been struggling, and the best times have been when I've been in a really healthy spot. And it's really, really interesting. Just to see that connection. That's been surprising on my business journey. I wasn't necessarily expecting that.
Yeah. And it's funny how the circumstances between those two things aren't necessarily different, right? Like there's still ups and downs, but when we feel like we're internally supporting ourselves, we view circumstances completely differently.
Yeah, that's,
and we can ride out those bumps, those highs and those lows, and we stop seeing a bump in the road as a stumbling block, and we start seeing it as a building block.
Right. I'm curious to if there are maybe some identifiers that you see, or maybe some like red flags where if people have these red flags, they're in need of kind of a redesign of their life, of their lifestyle. Redesigning your life, that sounds big. So I don't want to like overwhelm people with that. But are there kind of some characteristics or some maybe warning signs that if people are seeing these in their life, then it might be worth putting some time into thinking about lifestyle design?
I look at it this way, is that when we're just like designing our life is not an arrival. There's no arrival gate, right? And we're not like, yes, I did it, and now the work's done, right? It's a continuous process. Right. That we're leaning further into every single day. It's what we're consuming. It's what we're listening to. It's what we're reading. It's what we're interacting with. It's what we touch, what we smell. It's everything. It's getting more intentional about those things every single day. So it's really something where if you see yourself or feel yourself plugging into like autopilot too many times, I'm not talking about flow. That's different, right? Like creative flow or workflow. But autopilot, where you're just kind of going through the motions, you start to feel yourself disconnected. That's a moment to be like, okay, wait, what's going on here? Where am I not supporting myself? Where am I not allowing myself to take up space? Where am I withholding from myself the ability to bring my whole self into the room?
Right.
What parts of myself am I leaving at home when I'm out in the world doing things? You know, I think that's the moment where we, and it's different for everybody. I'm neurodivergent. I have ADHD. So it can be really difficult to sometimes be very conscious because I get I go through cycles, right? Where like I'm really clicked in. And then there's other moments where I'm like, oh my God, I just don't want to do anything for like the next 5 days. Mm-hmm. Right. So I go through these cycles. And I think as human beings, we, no matter what, you're going through those cycles, but I think it's important to just be like, you know what can I do for myself today that's going to reignite and reconnect me to myself? And maybe that's just going for a walk. Mm-hmm. Like many times, I think for many people, we like, it's like a walk. I'm dead serious. Like that might be what it is. Feeling the sun, feeling the wind, listening to the birds, and just like be present in your own life. And I think walks are so good for that, getting us back in our body. Yeah. And out of our heads. Yeah. So that's really, you know, what life design is about, is getting us back in our bodies and out of our heads, getting us present in our own lives.
Yeah, that's great. There's so much within that. And you can tell that, you know, there's so much within this life design. Yeah. I'm curious, kind of before we close this, how did this start for you? How did this, if you'd be willing, how did you get to the place where prioritizing life design and also the environment and architecture around you to support that life design? How did you get to the place where that was really what you knew you wanted to do?
In college, I was really just trying to conform. I was trying to figure out, I was trying to catch up. And growing up in a very traumatic, abusive environment, you don't realize how much you're held back socially and educationally and all these things because you're in constant survival mode. You're just trying to get to the next minute alive, right? And so like in college, I knew, and growing up in that environment is what led me to become and want to become an interior designer, to be able to be that person who showed people what's possible in their physical world and that leading them to what's possible in their actual life. But for me, it just got to the place where like in college, I was like, okay, now I've got to catch up with everybody else. And I, for a very long time, I was like, okay, the goal is just to be the best, you know, the best designer and to be the trend setter or whatever that means. I don't even, and now in my life, I don't even know what that means anymore. Like I do know what it means, but I don't care what it means. And I guess at some point I realized that I was leaving a huge chunk of my life experience and who I was at home when I was in the world, right? Like just what we were talking about. I was pretending like, okay, I'm healed. I've moved on from that. Now I'm just going to be like, I've always been inspired by architects. So I'm going to be like the next Libeskind or the next Zaha Hadid, right? And I realized the most powerful parts of ourselves are our life story. And I was leaving that at home. And so when I realized that I could take those parts of myself and I could infuse it with interior design, and I just let it take me where it was going to take me. I didn't know the answer. How do those two things come together? I had no idea until I did. And I just kind of let that path meander and let those things come together by bringing my whole self in the room with me every time I met with a client. And it just naturally led me to where I am now. That and doing a lot of reading, a lot of psychology. You know, I read a lot of books on psychology, a lot of books about a variety of different things. That all of a sudden I just started to figure out all these disparate things. They actually have connection points. And it just started coming together.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. It's amazing how journeys in the different directions of our life seem to collide. But also how they seem to emerge organically. And they seem to emerge as we dive into the passions that we have more and more. To our listeners, I hope this episode's been helpful in kind of taking a quick dive into this world of intention and intentionality and how important it is for us, especially as business owners, to be intentional with our space. With the last question, I'd like to ask that kind of specifically of, for business owners, why do you think that the environment, like how we design the physical environment around us, why is that really important for business owners? And are there some things that you would just like right off the bat recommend? Like, yeah, business owners should be thinking about this or doing this when it comes to their work environment.
Yeah, your work environment is important, but your home environment is even more important. Like your work environment, you want to make sure that you've got, you know, access to the things you need, and you're able to be your full self and bring your full self into the room and do the things you need to do, while it also being connected to what you do as a company and connected to your brand, right? That's all important. But what I try to remind people is that our bedroom specifically, our bedroom is the last place we close our, the last thing we see and the thing we close our eyes to every night and the first thing we see every morning. It's the first thing we open our eyes to. So our bedroom in particular is a place that can really be a place of rest and reconnection. And two really important things are to if you can, leave your cell phone and have it plugged in another room. Do not sleep with your cell phone next to your bed, and try to have no TV in your bedroom, right? Like it needs to be a place where your mind can shut off and you can be allowed to rest and reconnect. Boredom is really important for creativity, but we don't allow ourselves to be bored anymore and to just relax or maybe just read a book. But taking away those things, those distractions, can really get us present and get us back in our body. And books connect to our brain very differently than television does. It connects to a very different part of your brain. So activating those different parts of our brains, learning and using our, maybe our bedroom is a place where you pick up an actual physical book, you know, or you're just not connected with technology, where you're able to really focus in on what's going on in here, is really vitally important for us as business owners. We need that time. And I use this analogy, and if we have the time, it's like 30 yeah, seconds.
Please.
Most people don't know what part of the body your heart pumps blood to first. And the heart pumps blood to itself first. It pumps blood from one side to the other before it pumps blood to the rest of the body. It has to take care of itself first. Otherwise, the body will die, right? So that is a perfect metaphor for who we are as business owners. We have got to pump blood to ourselves first. And so you know, maybe you can't allocate financial resources, but you can make your bed every morning. You can do these little things that can signify I matter and I get to take up space.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And it gives me a lot of things to think about. And I hope that our listeners can be thinking about some of these things as well. Maybe making some adjustments to our life design. I know it's easy to just think about numbers and goals and metrics, but I think there's some of these other things below the surface that are really contributing. And so this has been really valuable. Shayna, how can people get in touch with you and where can they find you?
Yeah, you know, the easiest way is through my business website. It's consonate.world, and it's consonate.world. On the homepage at the top right corner, there's the link to a link tree that takes you to everything, all the podcasts, all the things I've written, all the contact information. You could subscribe to our once a month email blast on the website, and you can find my contact information, my email, you know, my telephone number. All of that is all there. So that's the best place to get connected to everything.
Wonderful. We will have the link to that in the show notes. Shayna, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us on the Small Business Storytellers. Thank you so much for listening to the Small Business Storytellers. If you've wanted to start a podcast and have been wondering if you can use podcasting to grow your business, but don't know where to start, I'd love to talk. Head to successwithstories.com/podcast to learn exactly how to launch, grow, and profit from a podcast for your business. Again, that is successwithstories.com/podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And if you like this episode, share it with someone you know who would also like it. If you want to be a guest on the podcast or know someone who would be a great guest on the show, let me know. Thank you, and we will see you next time on the Small Business Storytellers.